Eat the World DXB comes to the UAE from the 23rd to the 25th of February 2017. It's part of the Dubai Food Festival and it's in its third year, bringing the best of British food via food trucks, making for a great weekend of ingredients, energy and entertainment. And in addition this year, for the first time, there'll be food trucks from Singapore and California, really the first of its kind when it comes to celebrating street food under one caravan of culture and food. Wanting to be part of this journey, I spent time in London recently with Dan from The Rotary, who's been in the business of street food for 2 years, specialising in using the forgotten cuts of the whole animal, sourcing from ethical farmers and making great burgers, steak sandwiches and the like. We head to the butchery in Bermondsey and a food cooperative called Spa Terminus. The butchery prides themselves in butchering the whole carcass, nose to tail, and respecting the animal without waste. We head into one of the fridges and I get a lesson in hanging lamb and hoggets, and I end up holding a heart in my hand.
These lambs here are from Dorset. The breed is Dorset Down. These are killed between 9 and 12 months, which is a lot longer than sort of a supermarket lamb, purely because of the breed, and they grow slower. But a lot of the breeds that we use, so we use between 1 and 2 years. That's a hogget, is what we define as a hogget. And then 2 years and above is mutton. But a lot of breeds, traditional British breeds, don't grow quickly. So by the time they're hoggets, that's when they're fully grown. So it's educating people that hogget and mutton aren't tough old animals. They can be right in their prime. Mutton is often more tender than lamb. Using the rare British breeds has differences that you can't replicate a supermarket 4-month-old lamb and get any size to it. So
we do a dish that we normally do for winter time, but lamb cheek, which is it's one of those sort of really hard to cut out, sort of hard to butcher, but it's and it's anything. A cheek is again one of my favourite cuts, hands down. Beef cheek, lamb cheek, whatever, but they're really tiny when it comes to sort of lamb cheek as well. But a sort of a slow braising cut, which are great, but again because of the butchery, they're quite, you know, they're not the cheapest. But yeah, we love using lamb as a kid goat, and sort of, you know, all the sort of unappreciated cuts really. I mean, we don't really do things like sort of fillet steak. We might do things like a, you know, flat iron like Ben was talking about, or you know, or the oyster steak, the spider steak. So it's all about that kind of, you know, the forgotten cuts, as we like to call them, although, you know, things like the flat iron are being sort of picked up by restaurants now, so less forgotten. And then we kind of move on and try and do things that are sort of out of the public eye and sort of try and bring them to their attention really. So
have you seen a rise in sort of offal?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's like the traditional base of offal, which tends to be sort of older people, but now it's becoming the norm, you know, people are looking for it. Yeah, that's another benefit of getting the whole animals, is we get the offal as well, and you can educate people on that, you know. Yeah, you can't age anything like that. That's comes in fresh, goes out fresh.
There's a common sort of misconception with offal as well. I mean, a lot of people think, okay, right, liver, kidney, things like that, they're a really strong taste, which they are. Yeah. So people just seem to associate offal with really strong, you know, eating liver and onions as a kid. They think, I don't like it. I don't, you know, when you look at things like the heart, which is a muscle meat, you know, and cooked the right way, could be cooked like a steak. You know, you go to St. John and you can get a sort of piece of, like I do a dry cured ox heart, which is like a jerky basically. So there's lots of things you can do with it, but there's the kind of that kind of whole misconception about, right, okay, if I'm going to eat offal, it's going to be really strong tasting, really horrible. But that's just not the case, is it?
One of our street food guys actually does heart burgers.
I googled like ox heart jerky, and there was like some guy in North America that had done like an elk heart jerky. So I went to a couple of guys. Do you know Moon's Green Charcuterie? John and Jose. So I went there for the heart. I said, look, what can you do with it? Could you make a sort of a brazzola or a jerky or something along those lines? And after a couple of months, they came back with this, which is awesome. Which we use it in kind of salads and stuff, but I like to try and feed it to people on the van and just kind of just ask them to guess what it is, but give this a try.
Well,
Have you tried to stuff it?
No, I haven't.
Go on, go for it. Go for it.
You're straight in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Supposed to have massive health, massively healthy meat, piece of meat as well, the heart. Really high in protein, low in fat. Really suits sort of like modern
diets.
Holding
the heart in your hand.
Snacky thing. We sell it in bags on the van as well. People just sort of snack on. They love it.
Just while you're talking about cooking food, if you did want a picture, obviously this particular hindquarter has a big Pope's eye right there. So
okay,
which we should get in. We actually call spider steak.
This is delicious. First,
it's great, isn't it?
Yeah. Tell me again what it is.
It's dry cured ox heart.
Wow, that's a first for me. Standing in the fridge.
It was the only one in Britain until I think recently. So it was my brainchild and like Moon's Green Charcuterie hard work.
So this section in here is the Pope's Eye spider steak. You see, it's right along the hip bone, which is why it's so difficult to take off and why it's often not sold. Get it off in one piece so you can cook it is tricky.
Because I've never seen it in the carcass.
Yeah,
like that. It looks almost impossible to butcher.
Yeah, well, you can see, like, you've got the curve of the bone.
Yeah.
Which it follows, and it actually kind of joins through. It kind of anchors the top side in. So it's got a hole in the hip bone where the ball and socket fits in. One of the hard bits with us and Pope's eyes is the dry aging. As you can see, it's right on the edge, so you lose a lot of weight. So a very small steak becomes very, very small. You know, you cut half of it off because you can't eat what's exposed to the air. It's just too tough.
Amazing. Great.
Should we leave the fridge?
Yes.
Forever and freeze this.
When I come back, hear how down the road, Eric cooks his Pope's Eye steak with his homemade garlic pickles and wild garlic sauce. I'm with Dan from The Rotary, a food truck that's on its way to the UAE next year as part of the Eat the World DXB Festival. From the butchery, Dan takes his Pope's Eye steak and cooks up the perfect steak sandwich.
So we're going to cook the Pope's Eye steak, which we picked up from the butchery. So I'm going to do this really simply with literally just a minute and a half each side seared and serving a steak sandwich with our wild garlic steak sauce. So this is a really popular one we do on the van. So we're going to treat it with respect, literally just do, like I say, a minute, half each side, and season it while it's on the grill. So we're just getting this up to temperature.
What always impresses me is on the truck, on the van, how much you're producing in this small space. Mm. So on a busy day, how many steak sandwiches or...
It varies. If we're on a regular market, we might do between 100, 200 covers, depending on if it's a lunch market or it's a sort of an evening affair, corporate events, a lot more, so we might do sort of 400 or 500 covers. We often have we'll have a marquee at the back of the van because I've probably got one of the smallest vans out of everybody, so it's kind of it's a squeeze with two people in there and a griddle. So it's a push, but we do it. But you know, for larger events, so like Dubai, we'll have, you know, marquees out of the back and we'll use the van as a pass. So we'll be serving but cooking the majority at the back.
The thing in Dubai, you're probably okay with the weather. It's probably not going to rain. It could. We do get rain, but your chances are pretty good that it's going to be nice and fine. Whereas in the UK, you're up against the elements a little bit.
Exactly.
But I don't know, how have you fared in the UAE with the climate? Because, I mean, for us, February is still quite cool. But for you guys?
For us, it's incredibly hot. I think I'm sure the first time we went, we had about a 30 degrees in the shade, or might have been higher. And in our vans, it's incredible. I'm in a tin can in this kind of weather. We had a small fan that was doing nothing really. Obviously the hatch open, which makes a bit of a difference. But no, it was absolutely crazy. I think we lost a couple of stone while we were out there working. But thanks, Matt. Okay, I think this is kind of getting up to a good temperature.
It's exciting to come from your domain in Britain, in London, to somewhere like the UAE. What made you want to do it when you first...
Gotcha. Well, I got into street food more for the adventure than anything else, so it was a bit of a no-brainer when these guys came and said, you know, join us in the UAE. But it's such a different culture. Like I said, it's kind of a culture shock. You know, people are very different than they are in the sort of the UK. But, you know, they went crazy for street food the first time we came out. We were like the kind of One Direction of street food. But It was really popular. I mean, we had queues that we've never seen.
And what were you serving that year?
The first year we did sliders. So very early days for the rotary, we were doing a lot of sort of braising. So not, you know, cuts like this that we're doing now is kind of like a steak, so we can do it really quickly, which is great. We're using a lot of things like sort of shin and beef cheek. But obviously that takes a lot of work. So, you know, you've got to put it in the oven for, you know, 4-5 hours to get it to a stage where you're then going to pull it and then you're going to serve it in sliders or burgers.
Right.
But if you're doing that for, you know, 500-600 covers a day, there's not enough oven space in the world to be able to
manage. It's a lot of pulling.
It. Exactly, yeah. So that we learned very quickly that we need to do something that's equally as good, but also, you know, a bit sort of quicker to produce.
And you do your foraging as well, so yeah. You're talking about the wild garlic for the sauce with this dish today. And what other things do you use?
So, well, I grew up in the Forest of Dean, in a small sort of village in the middle of a forest. So I've foraged from sort of day one since I was a kid. So anything from, you know, wild garlic when it's in season, which is a really versatile sort of wild edible, to mushrooms. You name it, anything that's sort of in season. Mushrooms are really in season at the moment, not as easy to find as wild garlic in season. Again, it's tricky when you get to the UAE. There's not a great deal we can forage in the desert. But so with this, the wild garlic sauce that I've made here for the steak is one that we use on everything. So we put it on the burgers. It's really versatile. But when it comes into season, sort of springtime, we pick the leaves, we make an emulsion. And we use that throughout the year to add to sort of a mayonnaise base, basically. So it's kind of similar to a mayonnaise. We use eggs and rapeseed oil to make a mayo, and then sort of add it to that. So this goes on literally anything you put it on will be great. And it's quite a simple one, so it works really well with the steak. So we don't go too overboard with the flavours. It's just a kind of a mild garlicky taste. It's not sort of crazy garlicky taste you get with bulb garlic. So we'll add a bit of butter to the griddle, not to the steak. We put the steak straight on without any seasoning, so I don't season beforehand. It tends to dry the meat out. So I season with salt and pepper while it's on the grill. Now with this one, it's such a thin steak, we just need literally about a minute and a half each side. So we can do it, we're doing it medium rare here, but we can do it sort of well done. It's all sort of preference of who's ordering. So while that's on for a minute, we've got our sourdough bread that we've just toasted up and softened up slightly. So we'll so that's probably all I'd say for that side. So it's about a minute.
Yeah.
We'll flip it over. You get a nice colour on the other side. And we'll season the cooked side.
Looks lovely.
And while that's on, we'll add the wild garlic. This is the wild garlic sauce that we add to our steak sandwiches and our burgers. So this is the leaf of the garlic. So like I say, it's not an overpowering garlicky taste because it's a wild garlic. It's more sort of a mild flavour. A good amount of that. Burn myself. Okay, so it's a minute each side. So we're going to rest that for at least 4 to 5 minutes, just to let all the muscles sort of relax before we cut it. You're right, Suzanne, you're getting smoked out.
Oh no, I'm fine. It's nice and warm.
You're back in the UAE all over again. 40 degree heat in here. So a good amount of butter.
Great.
As you do, we're British, we like our butter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in the truck you've got you're serving that amount of people, you must have a really good system going, because if you've got the meat resting, depending what you're doing,
so if we're doing steak sandwiches, we just continue to cook the meat and then we have it in a hot hold while it's resting. As I was talking about the wild garlic, so when it comes to springtime, wild garlic is everywhere in the UK. So we, it's easily identified because you can smell it as you kind of walk up to it. But it's one of the most sort of versatile of spring greens if you kind of know what you're doing with it. So
like I say, we use the leaves for our wild garlic sauce. So that kind of, we try and stretch that out throughout the year. So we'll use the emulsion to add to the mayonnaises to make that. So when it gets to the end of the wild garlic lifespan, if you like, it's the flowers sort of develop on the heads of the garlic, and then they drop off and they leave these kind of little bulbs, which we then painstakingly forage by cutting each little sort of bulb off, and then we pickle them in a malt vinegar and make literally the best capers you've ever tasted in your life.
I can smell. So amazing, beautiful. Oh my god.
So those capers, wow, added to,
that's,
you know,
amazing.
Fish. Mm. So, you know, so we only do like a small amount of these. So we only do them for sort of private events normally, because they are absolutely, they're like gold dust.
Yeah.
And I might, you know, for big family birthdays, I might give a jar away. But we're going to add these to the steak as well, just to give that kind of, that sort of pickly punch.
It's a pickly punch.
Yeah.
Delicious.
So our steak's rested.
Yeah.
So this should be medium, I would say sort of medium to well. So we cooked it a little bit more, but as long as it's resting, that's fine. So the important thing, once it's rested with any steak, is to cut it against the grain. Oh. If we cut it with the grain, the sinews would make it really difficult to eat. So we cut against the grain. You can see it running down here and on a slight angle. As long as this knife is sharp, bingo, it is.
Where did you learn all this, Sam?
So I travelled Australia for a year and worked in various kitchens as sort of commis chef. And then when I came back to London, I thought, well, you know, I'd love to kind of move to London with a starry-eyed dream of cooking for a living, but I didn't really want to work under a shouty head chef, so I thought, well, look, the only way to do it is buy a van and do it myself and be my own boss, you know. But growing up in the forest, working on farms as a kid, so, you know, I was surrounded by you know, livestock and you know, great produce. But I'll let you try a tiny bit of this
absolutely
before.
Absolutely beautiful.
So because of the fats running through that, the flavour,
so quickly,
it's
done,
so tender.
Mm. Beautifully tender.
So we'll just lay this on our steak sandwich.
Mm.
And we'll add a spoonful of the wild garlic capers just over the top of the steak, just to give it that pickly punch. Okay, let's bring it over and I'll slice them up. So it's just literally the sauce, the bread, the steak, that's all you need. You don't put any rocket, any lettuce, anything to spoil it.
I'm interested in your sauces and your thinking what we can create for you in the UAE. We could do garlic, we can do that.
Yeah,
and so, what about some sort of spicy, you know, obviously with the Indian influence?
Well, we do that. So one of our most popular sauces is our wild blackberry hot sauce.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's forage wild blackberries when they're in season. And then we make a kind of a jam. And then we use Scotch bonnet chilies, and we make a hot and sweet sort of sauce, which went down really well last time. It wasn't obviously with wild blackberries, but we did it with blackberries over in the UAE last time, and people loved it. Although some people are a bit averse to spice, so we do kind of a milder version as well, or yeah, like a blackberry ketchup.
Nice.
But that's really popular. So that's our Pope-sized steak sandwich with wild garlic mayonnaise and wild garlic capers. So give it a try.
It's a beautiful blend, Dan. That you got the crunch and the little bit of that kick, but the tenderness of the meat. Beautiful. Yeah, I can see why they were queuing up.
Mm.
Thanks to Dan the Rotary and the people behind Eat the World DXB. Check out the pictures on the special features page at dubaieye1038.com/Dubai Today. And for more information on all that's happening in February 2017, you'll find it there on the special features page. That's it from me. Have yourselves a great weekend. Let's go.